Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
New York faces a deficit. The deficit that we talk about all day long. The budget deficit. The budget deficit. But it's actually worse. The state faces a budget deficit and a competence deficit and an integrity deficit and a trust deficit. And those are the obstacles we really face.
Andrew Cuomo, the new governor of New York, from his inaugural address on Saturday, and coming tomorrow from the governor, phase two, an emergency financial plan for New York State. And the Wall Street Journal reports today that the Cuomo administration is considering a cut of about $2.1 billion out of the state's projected spending on Medicaid in the upcoming fiscal year. Now, remember, the budget deficit is expected to be about $10 billion. So this would be a big chunk of it coming out of what is usually the state's biggest expense, which is Medicaid. And with federal matching funds going away to some degree, the cut comes more than $4 billion, according to the Journal. They say that's close to twice the reduction in spending in Medicaid proposed by Governor Eliot Spitzer in 2007. So the governor will reportedly also ask for a one-year wage freeze by state employees, as we talked about yesterday. He announced a 5% salary cut for himself yesterday as kind of a real, kind of a symbolic act of sacrifice while about to ask it from others. And there is more tough love to come. So let's get some thoughts on the first days of the Cuomo administration and the pain likely coming from New Yorkers, for New Yorkers, and if there is any benefit that could actually come from two New York State Senate members. We have Manhattan Democrat Liz Krueger and Long Island Republican John Flanagan. Senator Krueger, Senator Flanagan, welcome to WNYC. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Brian. Happy New Year, John.
Happy New Year to both of you. Thank you.
So is the governor off to a good start so far? A few of his plans are being announced or leaked that I just went over. Liz Krueger, do you like what you see so far?
Well, I am very invested in making sure that Andrew Cuomo is incredibly successful as the new governor of New York State. We know we are in tough times. We know there is going to be shared sacrifice by everyone, but the messages he is putting out to force the tough decisions to have to be made and to call for a new vision of government in Albany is very exciting to me as the state senator coming back for my new session.
Senator Flanagan, are you as enthusiastic?
Yeah, I would agree. Governor Cuomo obviously had an impressive victory in the fall and speaks volumes about where his agenda is going to go. And he needs partners. He needs responsible leaders in both the Senate and the Assembly. And people have an expectation that the election is over and now that we're going to govern. And Senator Krueger is absolutely right. We have very difficult financial issues facing the state of New York. And even with that, we've been given a great opportunity. Now is the time to make some serious, fundamental, sweeping changes in how we do everything in the state of New York to return us to the position of the Empire State. So I want to work with the governor. I know my colleagues in the Senate Republican Conference want to work with him, and I think we can have a very productive year in spite of the challenges.
And listeners, you can give us your first reactions to the Cuomo agenda as it's coming out piece by piece, 212-433. WNYC for our two state senators, Democrat from Manhattan, Republican from Long Island, 212-433-9692. By the way, during the State of the State address tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Wednesday afternoon at 1, we will carry it live on AM 820, and I will be hosting a simultaneous live chat on our politics website. It's freecountry.org, so you can plan to be with us on the air and online for the State of the State address tomorrow afternoon at 1 when we expect to hear some more of these specifics. Senator Krueger, can you, as kind of a liberal Democrat from Manhattan, you know, be enthusiastic, as you said, about some of these cuts that are coming? I read the Wall Street Journal excerpt on cutting $2 billion to $4 billion, depending on how you interpret it, out of Medicaid. Well, is that going to mean untoward pain for the poorest among us?
Well, let's remember, look, nobody in government ever wants to cut services, and no one in the public wants to hear about cutting services. But we know we've had a huge Medicaid problem. Just, I guess, 2 points. I think one approach that we need to take when cutting Medicaid is to look at some proposals that have been made, including establishing a professional rate-setting method by statute, the way the federal government does. I personally don't think the legislature, either party, either house, ought to be deciding dollar rate reimbursement as we have in the past. I think that has led us down the wrong road. But I also, to answer your question, Brian, Medicaid is a program for the poor, the elderly, and disabled. And technically in New York State, while elderly and disabled representatives are 24% of enrollees in Medicaid, they consume 72% of the dollars. So when you ask about cutting Medicaid, we just have to remember the math is there that we're talking about cutting funds for the elderly and disabled. Now, the place that we might get some help from the feds, of course, is the changes in national health care sort of clicking in over the next couple of series of years, where there may be some ways we can shift responsibility into the new federal system without doing harm, but with saving money. And I'm going to be heavily focused on those proposals.
Senator Flanagan, anything specific about how to cut Medicaid? Obviously, everybody has Medicaid recipients in their districts. It's not just, poor people on welfare, that kind of thing. It is a lot of senior citizens who also have Medicare but get Medicaid for some of the expenses like home health aides and things like that.
I would suggest a couple of different things. First of all, whatever we do has to be fair and equitable. And even if that means that there's going to be pain in the sense that there will be real cuts, as long as it's done in such a fashion that everybody understands that there's got to be some shared sacrifice, that's very important. Second thing is, there needs to be changes at the federal level because national health care law really creates obstacles and problems for the state of New York by depriving us of flexibility to modify our Medicaid program. That's going to be a big-dollar problem that hasn't really been discussed in detail. Third thing is we need to be looking at what benefits we provide vis-a-vis the rest of the country. I don't think there's been a hard enough discussion about some of the services that we provide to residents all across the state of New York compared to other states. And we spend more. We're spending about $1 billion a week on Medicaid. So when you have a $10 billion deficit, anyone who thinks that we're going to somehow walk away from this problem by not touching Medicaid is divorcing themselves from reality. The choices are going to be hard. They're going to be painful to a degree, but we have to do them for not only a short-term benefit, but for a long-term gain to right this ship of state, so to speak.
Let's take a phone call. Rachel in Westchester. You're on WNYC. Hello, Rachel.
Hi. My concern is that a lot of the discussion of shared sacrifice has focused on public employees, and there's been very little discussion and, in fact, unwillingness to talk about allowing the surcharges that had been in place to be extended.
That's the income tax surcharge on wealthier New Yorkers?
Yes.
So, Senator Flanagan, how about that at this moment?
I agree with Governor Cuomo. I think the surcharge could go away, that we can't tax our way out of this problem. In the last 2 years, spending has been up by $14 billion. Taxes has been up by $14 billion. And that, in spite of the fact that we got over $25 billion in essentially grants from the federal government. There's been no structural change. We spend too much, we tax too much, we feed too much, and the public can't take it anymore. They're moving out of the state, and frankly, the people who are more affluent have a lot more portability. And if I look at the comparisons between the public sector and the private sector, over the last 5 to 10 years, the public sector has done far better than the private sector. I believe in supporting working men and women, but we're at a time now where we're going to have to make tough choices, publicly and privately, but I don't think it's a good idea to extend that surcharge.
Senator Krueger, how much of that do you agree with?
This is where I think Senator Flanagan and I disagree, and I believe that the new governor and I may have some various, hopefully, substantive conversations. To start with, in the context, I was a strong opponent of the federal government continuing the high-end Bush tax cuts. I had hoped that we would get a different result, that we would have sunsetted those enormous tax cuts for the very wealthy at the national level. But, of course, we know that didn't happen. That will translate into a much bigger federal deficit, less money to the states from the federal government. And the question, and I think it's a fair question to raise today, and thank you for the caller's call, given the fact that the feds did not sunset the Bush era high-end tax cuts for the wealthiest New Yorkers. When we put the surcharge in 2009 and sunsetted in 2011, we believed the federal government would be doing the reverse and we could draw on some more money from the feds. Since they have taken, in my opinion, the wrong action, increasing the likelihood of our local deficit here in New York State, I think we have to revisit the question of, is this the time to also do an additional state tax cut for the wealthiest when they are holding on to the enormous federal balloon deduction in their taxes?
What about Senator Flanagan's point that we can talk about shared sacrifice in the abstract all we want, but the wealthiest New Yorkers have the portability to up and move more than anybody else, and they're going to do that if taxes are seen as oppressively high here and not in other states?
Well, that is why I preface the whole discussion by the importance that the feds should have done something different, because it is true, it is much better to have tax policy, big picture, on the wealthy be a federal issue, because then you're only talking portability outside of the United States of America. And so you don't want to have range wars on tax policy between states, but I suspect we will see many other states forced to ask the same questions we're discussing right here this morning, because every state is in some level of economic trouble for themselves, and now every state knows that they will be seeing less from the federal government in the coming years.
We're talking about the emerging Andrew Cuomo agenda with Democratic State Senator Liz Krueger of Manhattan and Republican State Senator John Flanagan of the Smithtown, Long Island area, and Gay in Bedford-Stuyvesant. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. How are you doing? Happy and healthy.
And to you. Thanks for calling.
Let me just comment. I think you're an absolute genius the way you've reinvented radio. I think it's marvelous all the things you're doing.
You're very
anyway,
nice.
Anyway, you should pretty can't copyright it. Anyway, my comment has already been made by other people that the cuts and stuff should be, the sacrificing should be shared at all levels. And I think every single council member all over the country, not just in New York, but maybe particularly in New York, and the legislator, they should also be taking their cuts. And I'm glad to hear our new governor saying that he's going to do that for himself, if I understood what he said. The other thing is, I want to remind people sometimes think, and I remember the old days where people say, I don't want Social Security, it's charity. Not charity, it's our money. The government has no money but the taxes that they take from us. And I don't mind the taxes, I just wish they spent it on what we really need, constructive things. And they should leave the Social Security system alone, because it was, if I understand it, set up as a trust fund. It's not a government agency. You don't set a government agency to watch over a trust fund. You appoint trustees.
Gay, thank you very much. And of course, that's a federal question. But yes, the general fund of the federal government has been borrowing from Social Security for years and years, although that even without that, it would probably change as the baby boomers hit 65 in great numbers. But Senator Flanagan, how about her point regarding members of the state legislature taking pay cuts as the governor himself did yesterday? Are you all willing to do that?
Brian, that's I think what we're going to be looking at is the overall size of the Senate budget and the legislative budget generally. You know, in many respects, we are in similar positions. Over the last 12 years, there haven't been any pay raises for any member of the legislature. So I am completely mindful of that. We are going to have full-blown discussions and debate on these issues, and there's got to be shared sacrifice even from the legislature. I'm confident that when we get through this budget cycle that you will see reductions in the Senate budget and probably in the Assembly budget as well. How we arrive at those final numbers, I can't tell you right now, but I think it's going to be very important. Can I just go back? I want to add one comment.
Sure.
Very quickly. When we were talking about the tax structure and the surcharge and all those different things, you know, part of the focus has to be that we can't do any of these things in isolation. There's got to be a very broad macro approach to what we're talking about, because some of those people that we were referencing who are the high-end earners are also the people that create wealth and create jobs. And we have to set up a structure in the state of New York so that those who are willing to be entrepreneurial and take risks feel that they're making good investments in the state of New York. And I don't believe people feel that way right now. So while there are easy discussions to a degree about who should be taxed and how they should be taxed, it's a much broader approach that has to be taken. It's got to be easier to do business in the state of New York than it is today.
You both are enthusiastic to talk about this topic. The governor is taking what is traditionally the Republican position on this question. So, Senator Krueger, do you think that this is going to become a central focus early on of the legislature once the governor proposes his emergency financial plan and the legislature really digs into the budget options for the coming fiscal year? Is there going to be a big brouhaha in Albany about whether the wealthy should be taxed more before these other cuts are agreed to?
Well, I think that John Flanagan, even if we may at the end of the day not agree, is right that it has to be looked at in a broader discussion. And I look forward to a broader discussion of tax policy for the state of New York as it relates to revenue to pay for the services we all need and the fairness and equity of our tax policies. I have been accused, Brian, perhaps not by you, of being a tax nerd. I am stepping down as the chair of the Select Committee on Tax Policy. I've put out quite a few reports on these issues. So, yes, I look forward to asking the hard questions and rolling up our sleeves around personal income tax rates, property tax rates, tax exemptions. We have a larger number of tax exemptions in New York State than any state in the country. We lose more through tax exemptions, I believe, than almost any state in the country other than California. We have to ask the hard questions. Is this a tax exemption that is, in fact, generating a social good? Are jobs being created because we have that a tax exemption for someone? Are we improving our energy efficiencies, our environmental standards? Are we making sure parents have the money to send their children to college? That should be the hard questions asked about the tax structure overall. Is it a 21st century model to depend so heavily on property taxes at the local level? That will clearly be a huge topic of discussion in the context of Andrew Cuomo's governorship. And so even if John Flanagan and I may not agree at the end of the day on the specifics, I am in fact delighted that Governor Cuomo is basically throwing down a gauntlet. He is going to tackle these issues. He wants the legislature to work with him to accomplish the goals. And yes, there has to be shared sacrifice, and there will be pain because of the economic realities we find ourselves
in. And I've never called you a tax nerd. Maybe a tax geek, but never a nerd. I want to play clip of the governor before you both go. And this is not getting so much attention from his inaugural address. But I was wondering if he was trying to signal something with this, because all the conversation is about the pain and the sacrifice and the obvious tough times that we're in. But the governor did kind of channel his father a little bit in talking about the promise of government. And here's just a little bit of that section.
They wanted to make a statement when they built this institution of government. They wanted to say, we believe in government. We respect government. We're committed to government. We want the government to succeed. Why? Because they believed when the government succeeds, they succeed. Because the government is them. It is not an alien force. It is the organizing force for people. And if the government is successful at organizing and mobilizing, then society is going to be successful.
So, Liz Krueger, he may be talking about cutting like a Republican, but there is still some soaring rhetoric underneath there about the positive role that government can play in people's lives. Do you think that this new government, governor and the whole new government, can do anything for New Yorkers? Or is this only going to be about cuts and pain for a while?
This is not only going to be about cuts and pain. What we need is to have a vision for the 21st century going forward of how government can make the lives of New Yorkers better.
And what could, we're almost out of time.
That is the history of the Liberal Democratic Party.
What could he do to fulfill the idea behind that rhetoric in this term? We just have a few seconds. Anything specific?
Well, as we just started to talk about, we can come up with better models of economic development and supporting the next generation of New Yorkers to do great things and to have a stable economy to live in. We can do more with expanding and ensuring our quality higher education system. Remember, education isn't just through K through 12 anymore. In order to compete on an international level, we need the brain talents of our young people to be ready to compete.
We're going to be cutting education funding. Right?
Well, we have to be smarter, and we have to focus heavily on higher education as well.
And Senator Flanagan, do you, as a Republican, cringe when you hear that kind of "government is us, government can help make people's lives better" rhetoric from the new Democratic governor?
Not at all. I respect what the governor is saying, and I believe that government does play an important role in people's lives. But I think the discussion has to be making sure that government helps people in their lives, but not run their lives. It should be a discussion about equality of opportunity for everyone and not promising equality of outcome. Government should play a structured role, but then, frankly, get out of people's way and let everyone understand that it's the taxpayers' money. At the beginning and the end of the day, we're going to the same people asking to pay for the taxes. And I'll just tell you very quickly, despite all the conversations that are going on, we have a budget that is probably going to be about $135 billion. That's a heck of a lot of money. That's the taxpayers' money, and there are plenty of things that we can do to reorient our priorities, like a spending cap, like a property tax cap, and make the public have some restored faith in the government that is supposed to be serving them and not the other way around.
New York State Senator John Flanagan, a Republican from the 2nd State Senate District in and around Smithtown, Long Island. State Senator Liz Krueger, Democrat from the east side of Manhattan. Thank you both very much for coming on, and we look forward to talking to you both a lot during the year.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you.
And listeners, don't forget, in anticipation of tomorrow's State of the State address, we're collecting your State of the State acrostics. That's right. Take the word empire. You know how acrostics work? Take the word empire and describe New York in 6 words, 1 word each, starting with the first letter of with the letters of the word empire, E-M-P-I-R-E. For instance, 2 we've already received: empowering malevolent politicians in recession environment. E-M-P-I-R-E, empowering malevolent politicians in recession environment. And elected mayor purges inexpensive real estate. Fill out your empire acrostic at itsafreecountry.org. We will feature the best online and on air between now and the State of the State address on Wednesday. And don't forget, we will be carrying the State of the State live tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on AM 820 WNYC. And at the same time, we'll have an online viewing party and chat, which I will host at itsafreecountry.org. Make a date for 1 o'clock tomorrow. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. When we continue in a minute, it is back to WikiLeaks. The latest revelation shows U.S. diplomats apparently working on behalf of a private company. We'll explain.